Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom. How do people become so puffed up and full of themselves? Why do people begin to look around to judge others and find fault in what they do? And why do they build themselves up while tearing others down? Let's start off by turning to the book of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 1. Where do fightings and strivings come from among you? Do they not come from your pleasures that battle in your members? You desire and do not have. You murder and are jealous and are unable to obtain. You strive and fight, and you do not possess because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask evilly in order to spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity or against Elohim? Whoever therefore intends to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Elohim. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? Does the spirit which dwells in us intensely crave unto envy? But he gives greater favor. Because of this he says, Elohim resists the proud, but gives favor to the humble. So then subject yourselves to Elohim. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Draw near to Elohim, and he shall draw near to you. Cleanse hands, sinners, and cleanse the hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to dejection. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Master, and he shall lift you up. We must always be aware that the adversary is constantly appealing to our flesh. And our flesh is weak. We all have weaknesses, and the adversary knows exactly what buttons to push and how to get to us. He looks for the chinks in our armor, areas where we are weak and vulnerable, and he exploits that and takes advantage of it. And we should anticipate that and expect it and prepare for it. There are blatant transgressions, there are subtle transgressions, and there are very deceitful transgressions. And when we are deceived into believing that our transgression is not sin at all, that is the most dangerous transgression of all. We become convinced that what we are doing is right. And we become convinced that the path we're on is correct. And no one can make us see that it is not. You know, we must be set apart to Elohim. That's what he calls us to do. And we know that being set apart to him means we're not going to look like everyone else. We're going to be doing things differently, and we're not going to fit in. We're not going to fit in with most believers. But if you get to a point where you are the only one walking in a direction and no one else is even in sight, it might be time to stop and reassess where you are at and make sure you're staying on course. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 5. Matthew 16 and verse 5. And his taught ones came to the other side and had forgotten to take bread. And Yehoshua said to them, "Mind and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Because we brought no bread." But Yehoshua, aware of this, said to them, "O you of little belief, why do you reason among yourselves because you brought no bread? Do you still not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you picked up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What was wrong with the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They were learned men who had spent their lives studying the Torah. Why did Yeshua warn of their teaching? They were supposedly the great scholars of Israel. Other people looked up to them and looked to them for explanation and interpretation of the word. What was wrong with what they were doing? When we begin to take pride in something, what happens? We become puffed up. And we start thinking more highly of ourselves than we should. And we become convinced that we are right. Why did the Pharisees and Sadducees get so upset with Yeshua? He pointed out their hypocrisy and their own shortcomings. He rebuked them. He corrected them. He reproved them. And they didn't like it at all. They thought they were correct. They thought they knew everything that they needed to know. Were they able to receive what he said? They became angry. And they started plotting against him. Let's take a look at Galatians 5 and verse 14. Galatians 5 in verse 14. For the entire Torah is completed in one word, in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not accomplish the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you desire to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under Torah. And the works of the flesh are well known, which are these: adultery, whoring, uncleanness, indecency, idolatry, drug sorcery, hatred, quarrels, jealousies, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, murders, drunkenness, wild parties, and the like, of which I forewarn you, even as I also said before, that those who practice such as these shall not inherit the reign of Elohim. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, trustworthiness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no Torah. And those who are of Messiah have impaled the flesh with its passions and the desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, what causes all of this? All of this dissension, the factions, the arguing. It's pride and self-righteousness and the inability of people to let things go. And we can't force everyone to see things the way we see them. And Abba reveals things to people as it pleases him. And not everyone is ready to see the same things at the same time. There's a progression as he reveals truth. And he lays a foundation and begins to build on it. And he reveals as people are ready to receive. And some are just never ready to receive. Any one of us can fall at any moment if we begin to think we are something that we are not. Our battle is with our own flesh. And the adversary gets to us by using our own flesh against us. Now, people blame so many things on the adversary, when really, he puts the temptation there and we give in to our weaknesses. We give in to pride. We give in to self-righteousness. He can influence us, but he cannot force us to transgress. Now, the adversary cannot make us do anything. Just like our Abba does not make us do anything, it's our choice. It's always our choice. And if we transgress, we have no one to blame but ourselves, because we allowed ourselves to be tempted and to be led astray. And because we are weak, we fall. We give in. Is the adversary self-righteous? He may very well have been the original self-righteous one. Because he is the one who became puffed up, isn't he? He is the one that wanted to take the throne, the very throne of Elohim. And he was right there. He walked among the fiery stones. But it wasn't enough to be in the throne room of Elohim. No, he wanted everything for himself. Because why? Because he thought he was right. He found fault somewhere. And he decided he was right. He caused rebellion in the dwelling place of Elohim. And he caused those who followed him to become puffed up and self-righteous too. You know, an influential leader can incite people and stir them up and get them to follow him, even though he's wrong. Colossians 2 and verse 16. Colossians 2, verse 16. Let no one therefore judge you in eating or in drinking or in respect of a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of what is to come, but the body of the Messiah. Let no one deprive you of the prize, one who takes delight in false humility and worship of messengers, taking his stand on what he has not seen, puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the growth of Elohim. If then you died with Messiah from the elementary matters of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which are all to perish with use, according to the commands and teachings of men. There are people who are not Torah observant that have their own type of self-righteousness. Self-righteousness does not only affect believers. Shaul is telling us here that we should not allow those outside the body of Messiah to judge us and judge what we do as we set ourselves apart to Elohim. People in the world don't understand. And frankly, they really don't care. Sabbath doesn't mean anything to them. The appointed times doesn't mean anything to them. And they just can't understand how the people of Yah can be so committed to obeying him and keeping the observances that he has commanded us to keep. Becoming puffed up and full of yourself clouds your mind. And it robs you of your ability to reason and to be rational and to examine things from an unbiased point of view. How many people go to the word of Yahweh with preconceptions? They don't go there to learn. They go there to prove what they believe is true. And we have to come to him and erase and remove everything that we've been taught so that we can learn all over again. And it doesn't mean that everything that we've ever learned is wrong, but it means everything has to be examined and filtered through his word. And what does not fit, what does not belong, must be rejected. It has to be. We can't cling and hold on to things that don't line up with his word. And people become self-righteous about doctrines and beliefs that don't line up with his word, and they stand on them, and they become angry if anyone tries to show them that they are incorrect. How many people who reject the truth of Yahweh's word are self-righteous in their views and understanding? First Corinthians 4 and verse 4. First Corinthians 4 and verse 4. For I am not conscious of any matter against myself, yet I am not declared right by this, but he who judges me is Yahweh. So do not judge any at all before the time, until the Master comes, who shall bring to light what is hidden in darkness and reveal the thoughts of the hearts. And then each one's praise shall come from Elohim. And these matters, brothers, I have applied in a figure to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you might learn not to think beyond what is written, so that none of you be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. They were contending and arguing. One of the problems the people in Corinth had was self-righteousness. And Shaul was trying to teach them humility. And that was a hard lesson he had learned himself, wasn't it? The man who had been hunting down those who were walking in the way, those who had come to believe that Yeshua was the Messiah. Shaul was actively hunting them down, and he was stricken down himself. You know, obeying the commands of Yahweh does teach us humility. It should, because we have to submit ourselves to him, don't we? We have to admit that we were wrong and that we were going the wrong way. And what is the first great command that we have to submit to that causes so much problems for everyone? The Sabbath. How many challenges come that try to get us to disobey and break the Sabbath? And it never stops. In all the years I've been walking in the way, there are still challenges that come up around the Sabbath. And I think they always will. And we have to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to Yah and trust in him. You know, the world ignores the Sabbath and it does a lot of things on the Sabbath. But we set that day apart to Yah as he has asked us to do. And we rest in him on that day. And we trust in him to make up for anything we might lack for setting that time aside and following him and obeying him. And it's not always easy when we first begin to keep Sabbath. And we have to humble ourselves before him and be obedient. Can someone have the appearance of obeying Yah's commands, but be self-righteous and following their own way? people become convinced that what they are doing is right. And once they get into that mindset and get locked into tunnel vision to where they can't see any other way but their own way, it's a dangerous place to be. When we get so caught up in self-righteousness that no one can show us anything or point anything out to us, then we're in a place where not even Yah himself can reach us anymore. Because in our own minds, we become convinced that what we're doing is what he wants us to do. And so even though he's telling us no, he's showing us, he's closing doors, he's making it known in different ways that the way we're going is the wrong way, we ignore that because we are convinced in our own mind that we're doing his will when we're really just following our own will and making it into his. Isaiah 65 and verse 1. Isaiah 65 and verse 1. I have let myself be inquired of, not by those who asked. I was found, not by those who sought me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation not calling on my name. I have held out my hands all day long to a stubborn people who walk in a way that is not good, after their own thoughts. The people who provoke me continually to my face, who slaughter in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in secret places, who eat flesh of pigs and the broth of unclean meat is in their pots, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am set apart to you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day. Self-righteousness causes us to turn away from our Elohim, not towards him. We're not moving towards him when we're convinced in our own minds of the way we're going. Walking in the way requires constant humility, a constant humbling of ourselves before him and seeking his way. We will never know everything in this physical life. And we have to allow ourselves to be led. You know, we're shown the analogy of a shepherd so many times, Yeshua being the chief shepherd. And we are to follow him, follow his example. And how often did he humble himself before Yah? Acknowledging that he is the Father and only wanting to do his will. Shouldn't we only seek to do the will of our Abba? Self-righteousness leads to us following our own way and believing that we are following him. Because when you boil it all down, self-righteousness is self-deception. And how can we ever get to a place of being able to sit and look at others? You know, Yeshua warned us that we should take the log out of our own eye before we look at the splinter in our brother's. We have plenty to do in our own lives. We all have flaws in our character. We have stains on our garments. And that should be enough to keep us in a state of humility, recognizing our own shortcomings and areas that we still lack and things we still don't understand. There's a lot of dogma where people are convinced of something and they just dogmatically stand on that. You know, the truth is always better than a lie. And if we want to enter the kingdom, we need to be seeking the truth and finding out the truth of all things. And not believing in something that sounds good, but has no substance. If we want to make it into the kingdom, then we better be listening to Yah, and we better be in His Word, and we better be seeking the truth of all things instead of believing in untruths. Because that's not going to get us anywhere. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Second Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days hard times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, thankless, wrongdoers, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, haters of good, betrayers, reckless, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim, having a form of reverence but denying its power, and turn away from these. You know, if we've been around for any length of time at all, we have all heard this scripture quoted numerous times. But is it ever more relevant than it is now in our time, where many of these things are in place? And we see people doing these things every day. Being set apart to Yahweh requires us to set boundaries and limits. And sometimes that means that we have to turn away from people too. You know, was Yeshua unloving when he rejected the Pharisees and the Sadducees? When he corrected them, when he rebuked them, he was trying to help them. But they were so convinced in their own minds that they were right. They were standing there looking at the author of the Torah, yet rejected his interpretation and what he said. Because they were so convinced in their own minds that they were the ones who were right and he was wrong. May we always humble ourselves before our Abba, and guard against the leaven that seeks to enter in and corrupt what Yahweh is doing in us. You know, it always comes back to that question that the adversary asked Chava, Eve, in the garden. Did Yahweh really say, plant that seed of doubt? That's that little bit of leaven that begins to leaven the whole lump. We have to be on guard against self-righteousness because it enters in as just a little minute piece of leaven, and it can quickly spread and leaven us completely and thoroughly. And we don't even see it. We don't even see ourselves beginning to be puffed up and prideful and arrogant and walking in a way we shouldn't. The fruit of self-righteousness is rotten. And it's only going to produce misery and cause us to lose out on what our Elohim has in store for us. But we don't have to be victims. We can choose to humble ourselves and search ourselves and ask our Abba to help us search ourselves. Beware of the fruit of self-righteousness.
Yivarekika Yahweh, Vayishmareka, Ya'er Yahweh Panavileka, Vihuneka, Yisa Yahweh Panavileka, Vayashem Laha, Shalom. Yahweh bless you and protect you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn back his face towards you and give you shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into His truth. Shavua Tov.